All right. Well, welcome everybody to this beautiful bonus workshop in Inspired to Serve. I am so excited for today. I've been looking forward to this so much. We are welcoming Nick Demas into our beautiful sacred container. And Nick is, I'll let you introduce yourself, but I will start by saying you are an incredible person, intuitive yoga teacher, meditation teacher, business teacher, storyteller, actor, dancer, all the things. And just have such a magnetic personality, such a beautiful message to share. And I recently took a program with Nick called Real Stories That Sell, which if anybody is interested in taking this further with him, it is such a powerful program. And I can give you a link for that and give you the information if you're wanting to take this further. It's such a beautiful program teaching people how to tell and own their story. And even just owning the story, which we'll talk about today, in itself is so powerful. Getting us to write out our stories and really owning who we are has been such a transformative journey in my business as well as for myself. And so even just for the program itself, I thank you so much for that and for everything you teach us. So can you maybe start by introducing yourself and then I can just kind of pass it over to you. And if there's any questions, you guys can pop it in the chat as well. And just let's see how this goes.
Yes, this is going to be interactive. So if you have a pen or paper, you're definitely going to want that because we're going to do some writing exercises. But first of all, Leah, thank you so much for having me because I know what it means to bring people into your sacred space, into your community. And thank you for trusting me with the energy of your crew. And I always know coming in here, it's going to be amazing because you have amazing people because you're phenomenal. Love fest.
Thank you.
Truly. True love fest here. So I am Nick Demas. And I have a very interesting background that is Broadway meets spiritual, meets wellness, meets business coach, as she was saying, and we're going to dive into a bit of that as we go. But I think the best way to describe myself is an entrepreneur. Since I was a child, it's been all about evolution and change and growth. And we oftentimes in business circles talk about it in terms of pivoting, like I'm pivoting my business, I'm moving to this, I'm trying this. And I always say it's, for me, it's a pivot, kickball change and some jazz hands. That's been my sort of journey of the path. And we'll talk about that in a bit because part of it is about owning my story in the same way that I am offering to you today to own yours. I think the screen share, can you enable that for me? So I can share my slide. I made some slides that I'd like to share.
Do I make you the host?
You can do that.
Yeah.
There we go. Now I can share.
Yay.
So yeah, as Leah was saying, this is, about owning your story, about owning who you are and your relationship to the world. So the first question I have for you is, who wants to make both more money and more impact with their business? Raise your hand. Yeah, okay, we got a unanimous vote there that everyone wants to make more money and more impact with their business. And what I'd like to share with you today is that your money is in your story. Your money is in your story. And this is in the both in the internal stories and the external. And what I mean by that is that internally, we have a lot of thoughts that go in our head, right? These can be also sometimes called limiting beliefs, right? But basically they're stories. And those limiting beliefs, those limiting stories are your abundance blockers. And when you move through those, and when you tap into the real stories within you and you share them, that's when people become attracted to you. And that's when you begin to make impact. That's when you begin to make money, when you're standing in your purpose, in aligned purpose. So what if you could attract abundance, that's customers and clients? I don't know what all your businesses are here, but I am sure no matter what business you have, You want customers, right? You don't have a business without them, right? And by owning your story. So what if you could attract abundance, customers and clients by owning your story? So close your eyes and take a deep breath in. And just feel that. Lean into that. What would it feel like if you could attract abundance by owning and sharing your story? And now open your eyes and write on a piece of paper, what would it feel like? Oh, tears already, I'm loving it. Yes, it's coming up. Beautiful. Beautiful, thank you. Yeah, mwah. We're already moving energy. What if you could feel, and this is what I want you to write about, what if you could sell without feeling like you were selling? Because I know there's that word sell, right? Where we go, oh yeah, great. I want to have a business, but I don't want to sell anything. Yeah, got a hand raised there. Yep, yep. So what would it feel like if you could sell without feeling like you were selling? Just write a couple sentences about what it would feel like. Ooh, yeah. I'm getting this. Healers, coaches, and mentors here, spreading messages of self-love, manifestation, guidance, and healing. My people! Okay, good. I figured, but I don't want to be presumptuous. But yeah, my people. Good. Anyone want to share what it could feel like? I sell without feeling like you were selling.
I'll go. By the way, I swear I'm always the first to cry. Doesn't matter. That was big. I mean, the first things I wrote was huge, major, and then it's freeing. It feels like me. It feels whole. It feels the opposite of what I've felt my whole life.
Mm.
Like accepted, believed, trusted, honored.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Boom. Okay. My job's done here. I'll see y'all later. Yeah. Beautiful. Because here's the thing. Tell me the facts and I'll learn. Tell me the truth and I'll believe, but tell me a story and it will live in my heart forever. That's a Native American proverb. That's so true. We connect to stories. Why? This is me as a child, I swear it is. It's the know, like, and trust factor. We buy from people we know, we like, and we trust. You would not be in this program with Thalia if you didn't know her. You had to find out about her in some way, shape, or form. If you didn't like her, you wouldn't purchase. And you had to trust her, especially with the work that we do, you all. Especially with the work that we do. People need to know that they can trust you. And connecting with yourself first is vital. Again, especially with the work that we do, right? It's this constant. I was just right before this with my crew for a money manifestation course that I'm working. We were talking about the onion, the layers, because you know, like here, my people tend to do a lot of work on themselves, right? Because we're all healers, we're all coaches, and yet it's that layering. right? You peel away a layer of the onion and wow, there's this sweetness, this nectar at the center. But boy, sometimes you cry as the layers of the onion are coming off, right? Sometimes you cry, but it's more and more layers of beauty and leaning into that. So connecting with yourself is first and then with your customer. But we get in our own way, right? We get stuck in our thoughts, AKA stories. So which of the following have you said to yourself? Which of the following have you said to yourself? The onion is your favorite analogy. And you know what the onion is? A story. I just showed you how to do a story right there, right? You connected to that because it was a connection. Oh, that story. It's not a fact. So which of these stories have you said to yourself? I'm not original. I'm not as good as fill in the blank. I'm so overwhelmed by fill in the blank. I don't have enough great stories, or I don't know how to tell them. I'm not creative enough. I'm too much. People will think I'm too much. Or conversely, I'm not enough. What I have to share is not enough. Anyone? Anyone got those? Yeah, right? But it's deeper than that. Not enough, Julie says, yeah. Not enough. But it's really deeper, right? It's deeper than these stories, because what I actually hear is I'm afraid to be vulnerable. So we have to lean into that vulnerability. And the interesting thing is, and this is where it's so rough, because the interesting thing is, the more we lean into that vulnerability, the more people are drawn to us. And yet it's what we most fear, that they will be repelled by us, and some will. Yes, will you get some pushback? The bigger you get, the more you get. But this is a good thing. And that's really hard for us to understand at first, right? We want to help all people, but we can't, because not all people are for us. They're not on the same vibrational place or space or place, right? And the more that you own your vulnerability and you step into it, if anybody's seen Brené Brown's work on vulnerability, it's insanely beautiful. But we step into that because that is our story, right? That's our true story, is our vulnerability. Sharing those parts of us that are maybe messy and that are maybe a little dark and maybe aren't as pretty. It's actually our superpower. And the parts of you that you are hiding is your kryptonite. And that's why I'm there with my little Superman, right? They are your abundance blockers. Whatever you are hiding is your abundance blocker. The beliefs we tell ourselves. And these beliefs are repeated thoughts, right? We have thoughts all the time. Anybody know what percentage of our thoughts are repeated? Anybody have a guess? In the chat, you can give me a guess. What's your guess? Percentage of thoughts that are repeated. Yeah. 95% of our thoughts are repeated. 95% of our thoughts are repeated. 95% of our thoughts are repeated. Repeated thoughts create beliefs. It's okay to have thoughts that are negative, right? It's not about that. Our thought habits go on autopilot. I mean, what else could we create? Speaking of manifestation queen here, Talia, what else could we create if we had conscious awareness? If only 5%, if we're only conscious of 5% of what we're thinking, this is what you've been talking about. You don't need to believe your beliefs. Exactly. Yeah. Because it's really about living in the present moment. We get more intentional with our thoughts. We create in the present. You are creating in the present moment. If our attention is on the past, we're creating the past. If our attention is on the future, we're creating something that we don't actually want. because the subconscious part of you is stuck in that past. And you notice the stories, we notice them, we feel them to move through them. And when you see the stories, you are present. When you see your stories, you are present to the unpresent part of your past. And generally speaking, when you're in the present, you naturally feel good. It's nearly impossible when you're truly present not to feel good. You don't have to try. And abundance attraction is in your story. Well, we get in our way because we've got these old wounds, these old traumas, and they're stored within us. Psychic knots, or what I call, what is also in Sanskrit known as gruntis. So what are these knots? Everyday little traumas, things you were told by your mother or father or sister or friend, to major traumas of abuse, et cetera, et cetera. We could go down that path for way more than the hour that I have here, right? Days, months, years of this work of uncovering. But it is our job to uncover them, right? So I started my online business teaching meditation. I mean, it was a bit like bearing the lead because I have a Tony Award for telling stories professionally, right? For 30 years. But hey, let's teach meditation. No, I was also a meditation teacher. It's not that I wasn't. And I was told, I went to all the business classes that I needed to go to for this. I'd already run a multi-million dollar business, but I went to these classes for online teaching. I was given a webinar, the script to follow. It was a template. Anybody done this yet? And, you know, I got people, a few people to buy, and I do use the word got because it felt like I was sucking the life out of people to get them to into my program, right? But was it good? Was it aligned? It felt like shit, to be honest. It was awful. And so I turned to storytelling, not only teaching storytelling, but in my launches and the way in which I communicated to people what was really on my heart. And that way it was attracting people rather than manipulating. Right? See, this is meta. I'm like using story to tell you about story to tell you about story. Because 75% of our day, oh, there I am. Look, I'm not very happy in that photo. 75% of our day, there, now I'm happy sharing. 75% of our day is spent in storytelling. 75% of your day is spent in storytelling, in TV shows, YouTube, podcasts, films, social media. 75% of our daily conversations are storytelling. This is sometimes fun stories, frustrations, stories about your colleagues. Like right before we started, I heard a story about a colleague, right? Our enemies, our friends, sometimes it's spent in gossip. You're already telling stories and you're listening to them all the time. So doing it with intentionality, will shift everything for you. Because our brain is wired for it. Brains become more engaged. It's the language processing part of the brain. It's it links a metaphor like we had earlier, as if it's actually happening. Like while we are busy, we're searching for similar experiences in our brains. We activate this part called insula, which helps us relate to the same experience of pain, of joy, of disgust, of whatever it is the story is being told. It activates the areas in the brain as if we're actually experiencing it. And scientific research indicates that storytelling was actually part of the brain's formation. We've been telling them that long. Think about the sitting around the cave. That was the form of storytelling, was sitting around telling stories about how it went out to catch the prey, right? And bring back food. And whether it happened or didn't happen was part of the story. So another way of looking at it is this is our brain and this is our brain on stories, right? It's activated. the brain of the person telling and listening, and this is super important, synchronize. They actually synchronize. So this tells us when we're marketing ourselves or using stories, we authentically can connect with people. Have you ever gone to a theater or a movie, a film, where you've deeply connected with the story? You're like, oh, this is so, like, I just sense, I feel it. This is why. Beyond the empathic part of ourselves, there's actually a scientific part that your brain synchronizes. And you turn what you experience into your own idea. So the best part is you can get out of your fear of telling your story. Why? Because it's not about you, boo. It's not about you. It's actually about the other. We share our stories for others, for them to experience, for them to relate, for them to say, that's me. Oof, I'm not alone. And boy, do we all not want to be alone in this world right now, right? And people remember information 22 times more than facts alone. That's huge. And to have a business, we got to sell, right? We've already discussed that. And sell is not a dirty word when you're using story, because it's selling in service. It's selling in service. So let me ask you, where do you align? Story and selling. How are you at attracting abundance? Where do you align? The story selling, right? Perhaps you may be what we call popular. Popular, but not selling necessarily, right? There's that woman, that famous story of the woman named Ari, who had 2.6 million Instagram followers. 2.6 million Instagram followers. She went to sell t-shirts and she could only sell 36. She was afraid to be salesy, right? We don't need to be salesy. We need to stand in our truth and be the light. What she was doing was standing behind a wall and looking pretty. That's a very different type of influencer, a popular influencer, than somebody who is being the light and sharing themselves to serve others. And people sense that. Yeah, she might be interesting to follow. She's popular, but she didn't know how to communicate herself in order to sell. Now, on the flip side of that, you may be the pusher. The pusher is somebody who isn't necessarily creative, right? Like Ari's super creative. She's got these gorgeous looking photos. They may come across as too strong, like a used car salesman. And what do we do when we walk into that used car sales lot? We back up. We're like, oh no, right? Yuck. Don't want to be like that. And I think that's a great fear for many of us, is coming across like a slimed, exactly, like a used car salesman. Yeah. And where many of us live is in this space, potential, right? You know it's in you. It's scary. You're not sure how to access them. And you need a structure to tell your stories. Because you've got lots of ideas, maybe even. And it's vulnerable, as we were saying. So Julie's like, yep, yeah, I'm in the potential category. Yeah. And the interesting thing is, when you bring all three of these together, because actually you need all three. You don't need to be extreme pushy or extreme popular, but you need the underneath. You need what's underneath that and potential to become powerful in service. I mean, what would it feel like if you could be powerful in service? I want you to close your eyes again, because that really worked last time. Take a moment and close your eyes. And I just want you to sit with the feeling. You may even visualize yourself. Maybe it's on a stage. Maybe it's helping one person directly. Working with your, what I call your Shiro client, or your Thero, or your hero. So can you commit to being powerful in service today, like right now? Because we said we create now in that feeling. Because thought leaders are powerful in service, using both divine masculine and divine feminine qualities of storytelling and connecting deeply with the audience. And this requires yourself to be a bit uncomfortable. You've got to step outside of your comfort zone. We move out of our victimhood or our stories or our traumas and into transformational service. Enthusiasm and passion are deeply connected to source. So feel free to open your eyes now. Powerful in service. Yeah, take a moment and just write down anything that came up during that. Any thoughts or feelings, visions. Those are powerful, as we know. So with selling comes our relationship with money, which is really our relationship with ourself. You're all laughing. Something's coming up here. Is this something you've been talking about? Yeah. It's a relationship with ourself. Money is in your story, as I said, and so is your impact. Many of us are taught we should give away our stuff for free, especially the healers amongst us. And yet we feel energetically depleted because the exchange hasn't been proper. And sometimes money fears stop us, the fear around money, having it. What does it mean if I have it? What if it means if I don't have it, right? And we all know that fear, false evidence appearing real, right? That acronym, false evidence appearing real. Your money story is give away and spend. Yeah. Or another way of looking at the fear is a lack of faith in an abundant universe. A lack of faith in an abundant universe. And if you're feeling lack, I always say, go to your breath. Go to your breath. 21,600 breaths every single day. There is no more abundance than that. If you're feeling lack, take a deep breath. Because money comes from our unique stories, our unique relationships, what we can offer the world. It's not about, I love it, singing Rent. We've got some musical theater nerds here. I love it. It's not about being different, right? It's about being whole and fully yourself. So ask yourself, what is your uniqueness? Because in that great universe of stars out there, right? We're all part of the universe, but we're also that bright star. And sometimes people need you to be their North Star, not sometimes, all the time. And if you're not sure, you can dig in into those internal stories, including those around money, because you can't sell if you've got a huge issue around money. And like I said, it's your beliefs about your uniqueness and what you can offer the world. And a belief is something that we believe to be true, right? I think you've been talking about this week. It's not truth. It's a belief. It's a thought. And thoughts come and go. I have them all the time. So do you. They just come and go, right? It is repetitive thoughts that create the belief. Therefore, a belief can be changed at any time. A belief can be changed at any time. You can choose to change right now. So again, close your eyes and tune in for me. And I want you first to tune into your breath, because as we said, it's so abundant. On average, 21,600 breaths every single day per person. And as you tune in and you check in with this breath, I want you to ask yourself, what would be possible for you if you had no money, quote unquote, issues? If money was merely a tool for service? If the more money you make, the more good you could do in the world. Imagine if all of us heart-centered entrepreneurs got money. What could we do together? So when you're ready, I want you to open your eyes and I want you to take out your pen and I want you to write, what part of yourself have you been hiding in some way? What part of yourself have you been hiding in some way? Oh my God, I love your people. They're so open, Talia. They're amazing. Y'all are amazing. Get on mute, Julie. You just tell us. Oh, it's not unmuting.
Fine.
There you go.
I didn't want to unmute. No, my softness, my story, I don't usually let a whole lot of people in. What have I not been sharing? My awesomeness in general, basically.
Yeah.
That's about it.
You're awesome. You're like cool. You're like cool.
I am very cool.
And you're not sharing that?
No, I haven't been.
Good. So the second part of this is, what are you afraid of? And you can write for a moment. You don't have to say it out loud.
Well, judgment, of course.
Judgment. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That people won't like me, but we're getting a little bit clearer on that one.
I'm
getting close to 50, so I really just don't give as much of a fuck as I used to.
Oh my God, I turned 50 this year, and dude, I don't give a fuck.
I'm 49 this year, and it's like, oh my God, there's like half a fuck left.
Yeah. 49 and a half, I had a half a fuck. At 50, exactly. I don't give a shit anymore.
Sweet. Love it.
Yeah. And because here's the thing, guess what? Not everyone is going to like you. They're bad. Too bad. Too bad for them. I'm sorry, they're not going to know your greatness. Because those that need your message, they're going to love you. And they're going to dig every inch of you. And those are the people that you want to focus on. That's being of service. And the rest of those fuckers, whatever. Talk to the hand, as they used to say in the 90s, talk to the hand, right? Like, it's, you're not going to be able to please everyone. And that's something that's really hard for us, I think, as empaths as people that are sensitive, that it's really hard for us to move through that, to wiggle through that idea of, oh, I'm not going to be liked. Mm-hmm. But being liked is terribly overrated.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah, Marcy.
Along this, what keeps coming up for me, here come the tears again. I'm afraid of the people I'm going to lose and hurting them by sharing my story. Mm-hmm. And that's...
Are you talking about family and friends?
I mean, they're all kind of falling, a lot are kind of naturally falling away. Yeah. And I've noticed that. But what I see, what I feel, and what I could share, I know it could reach a lot of people and help a lot of people who've gone through it, but I really am worried about, you know, hurting my grandmother or my mom or my dad, my biological dad, or you know what I mean? Like that's
some sensitive stuff is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big fear and some sense. That's what came up for me. So,
yeah. And I think there's two parts to this. One is that you only need to share as much as you're comfortable. Until you're comfortable to share the next part, right? It's a phases thing. It's sort of like when you go on a first date, you don't come up to somebody and everything about your life with them and hug them, right? Or they go, oh my God, and they run away. You share a little bit and you get more comfortable. You gain confidence. The audience that you're sharing with does as well. And so do those people, the family and friends. They go, oh, you're sharing a bit of that. That's interesting. So you're training them almost over time to come to acceptance. Because guess what? You've had a lot of time to work through some of this stuff, I have a feeling. You've been doing some deep process work, I can tell, and you're still in it, right? Doing the deep process. So sometimes when you tell the story, it's like, ooh, they got to catch up. And you're already over here because you've already done all the process work. And they're like, holy sh! I haven't done this process work that you've done. So letting it out a little your whole life, right? Letting out a little at a time, it is prudent. And we don't want to share things that we're not on the other side of, right? And I don't, and it's an onion, so it's never over. But if we're still in the emotion of it, we're still in the drama of it, then it's not quite yet time to share that part of us. The other thing I suggest, and this is coming up for me right now, because I have a documentary, a personal documentary that's coming out. And in it, I talk about my sexual abuse. And I talk about my parents in it. And I'm going to send them the cut before it goes, obviously, before it goes public, so that they can, on their own, spend some time with it. So having that communication as best you can, and some parents are, you know, I'm very fortunate, knock, 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 I'm knocking on some big wood and thinking, Holy Spirit, right, that I've got really open parents that I know are going to step through because they have the whole way. And some are going to push back, like you were saying. But you have to ask yourself the question, if you could help somebody, is their discomfort and your own discomfort, which is actually bigger, more important? Because that's really what it's about, is helping that person. Because you're going to be that light. How that, you know, it's like that light, the ship, there's the ships at bay out there that are rolling around and need you to anchor them back. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Is it okay, Marcy, if I share something? Something else that came up that is very much like Nick was saying, and I just feel the need to say it, is that you don't need to share it all at once. So when we say you need to share your story, your mind goes to the thing you don't want to share. But something I've done is I started off by sharing the overview and saying, I've been through trauma, I've been through an eating disorder. And then in the more intimate containers, I share a little more detail, or as time goes on, or in my podcast that I know those fucking people aren't listening to anyway, I share more about the story over time. And at first it was an eating disorder. I was uncomfortable in my body. And then it was like over-exercising, taking pills. And then people learned it actually went into bulimia, but that took me years as I worked in. So remember that you can still share your story in a way that lands and shows people I've been through that too. And then over time, as you feel like it's appropriate and you feel more comfortable, you can share more of the details in more intimate settings. You're not just doing one post that outs everyone who's abused you, or, you know what I mean? So just remembering in your mind, it's not just that story that we mean in what Nick says when you need to share your story.
That's what I was going to say to you. The title of this should actually be not own your story, but own your stories.
Right.
I'm really feeling that with the onion. I'm telling you, I've been using the onion analogy, I don't know, since my first therapist when I was 14. I have an onion field, like a landmine, right? And I've been clearing my onions. I'm so right now with what Talia just said, with what you've been saying, Nick. I see this new onion blooming, and it's not ugly and gross. It's like outside edges are going to be talking about eating disorders, talking about depression, anxiety, grief, loss, you know, kind of the surface stuff. And as I go deeper into that onion.
Because these are your superpowers.
Yeah, exactly. And it's felt like that my whole life. I know it's been about me because it's me, but it's always been, this is happening because I've got more to share with other people. I've been saying it since I was a little girl. So this is amazing. Thank you.
What a gift you're going to be able to offer, right? And for many of us though, because we are sitting in our fears, there's a payoff. What is the payoff for hiding? That's the next question for you. What's your payoff for hiding?
And one of those is people don't have to be offended.
Correct.
Other people don't need to be uncomfortable. I'll do that for them.
I'll take that on. I'll take on their uncomfortable. I'll take on their shame and their guilt.
Would I be able to share?
Yeah, please.
Okay. This might resonate a little bit. In last Christmas, I've been sharing little bits on Facebook. Like if there's a meme about sexual abuse, I will always put it up. And the, I'm not the only one or whatever that one was, Me Too thing. And, the guy who abused me when I was a kid, his sister would reach out every once in a while, and she didn't really say anything, but other than Me Too, she would kind of answer, and it was just like, oh, okay, interesting. And last Christmas, a couple days before, I got a phone call from her asking if it was her brothers who'd abused me, which they had. Well, one of them had. And she had wanted to know, because she was asking if I could help her and make a statement with the police. I'm scary and hard. I thought I was like over it, right? We're okay. We've done all this work and we're fine. Holy shit, I was so wrong. But nobody else would come to her defense. And it was the only time she'd actually even acknowledged that it had ever happened. And so it is important. Fuck other people's discomfort. It's what about you in there, and it can definitely help other people for sure, because just even little tiny things, it's not like I shared my entire story, but she caught a little bit of something in there and definitely helped her And I don't know if that came across as wrong or rude, but it's possible. Anyways, that's what I wanted to share.
So first of all, thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Really.
Thank you.
No worries.
Very resonant. Very resonant. And I appreciate that because as like I said, I'm about to do it very, very publicly in a film. And so to hear that is really, I needed to hear that today. So I think that the teaching was, went back to me. So I appreciate that very much. Yeah.
Cool.
Because here's the thing, and this is a great segue. If not now, when? Visibility. Putting yourself out there. If not now, then when? Because now is the time to put yourself out there. Otherwise, there's always an excuse. Time, money, somebody's uncomfortability. And your audience. Go ahead.
Find out how many other people are exactly in the same boat and are scared shitless to share as well.
Totally.
And every moment you don't share, it's like they're not either. Not that you're responsible for all of them, but you're a leader. You're a light worker. And so every moment you're not sharing, it's almost energetically keeping someone else at your same level.
And they want you to be the thought leader.
They want you to.
They want you to be in a vibrational state that's real and authentic. And I mean, speaking of, there's a reason this Me Too movement has happened, right? Is that the world needs thought leaders with heart. And you are that leader for your community and with your audience. And not an old egoic, puffed up peacock version, but like humbleness. But in service, which goes back to that idea of this, of being powerful in service. The vibrational feeling state, the path of owning your own story. Stories. And it's layers, right? At the first layer level of this, it's, you know, you may feel scared or lost, you're hiding. It's all about you. We've all been there. And then it may shift to, you're overwhelmed, you're confused by it, you're indecisive, but you begin questioning it, questioning this path that you've been on. And then sharing your story starts to feel more structured, confident, conversational. You use your intuition. When is the time to share and when is the time not to share? And how much, like we were talking about. And then it becomes connected, intentional. You actually focus on customers because those are the people that you can help as clients. You're going to be able to help them by sharing. And again, that abundance blocker in your business is the part of the self that you're hiding. And courage is showing up fully. And asking for the sale. Why? Why do we want to ask for the sale? Anybody have a guess?
Abundance?
Yeah, that's part of it. But by showing up and asking for the sale, if you don't, you are robbing your audience of the spiritual experience they need to have. Because they're not standing for themselves. By not sharing, they can't find you. And you have so much to offer. Not making an offer, they can't invest in themselves, which we all know is the seed of transformation. The seed is planted when people invest. Yeah, because you don't have a nonprofit. That too. because selling, that is selling in service. And I get it. We can be worried that we become off icky or sleazy, but it's a conversation like we're having. I mean, who gets better results? Clients, people who show up, who invest in themselves, or the greater audience who might listen to a podcast, might do some free thing.
Nick, thank you for saying it like that. That was a huge shift for me personally, is when I just straight up light bulb moment realized when I invest, I show up. I didn't even like at first look at the previous clients. I looked at as soon as I invest and I go, holy fuck, holy fuck, holy fuck, whether it's $1,000 or $5,000. And I'm going, oh my God, oh my God, it steps me up. Totally. And that was a huge part of me to not feel guilty about asking for money, not feel guilty about my services costing something, because it energetically steps them up from the moment they press payment complete or whatever.
You don't ask, you're doing them a disservice. You're stealing from them. You're stealing from their growth.
It's true, you guys. Like, this will get in different layers, but hear that again and again and again. If you're not selling to them, they don't get to transform. They don't get your gold that is the alchemy they need.
So I'll tell you the story. I call it the tea story, because here's the thing. I was, you know, a Broadway producer, many years, 30 years worth of service in that world, right? And people, I get the dreaded email. The dreaded email was, can I pick your brain for coffee? Can I take you for a coffee and pick your brain? And I used to go do it, right? And what would happen is that I would have coffee with somebody, because I was very giving and loving and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I would sit there and I would share my 30 years of knowledge almost. At that time, it was maybe 20, 25 years, whatever. So a lot of years of knowledge in an hour. And at the end of it, they would say, oh, thank you so much. And they would never go do what I had just told them. Then it became, they'd write and say, hey, can I pick your brain and have coffee? And I'd say, I don't drink coffee. And they'd always say, well, can I take you for tea? And I always say, the tea ain't free, boo. The tea ain't free. Because it was codependency. I wasn't helping them. I was enabling them to stay stuck. Pearls before swine, exactly. So selling is actually the portal. When they walk through that portal, they enter the transformation. It's the currency of commitment, is another way of looking at it. And what do you miss out on when you don't?
Think of the difference between the free event you guys were generally a part of, most of you, or the memes you see about me talking about service versus the experience already, and we're only in week three. Think of if you didn't invest. It would have been a meme you saw once and an idea you went, yeah, maybe next time she does it. But now you're doing it because you did it. So beautiful.
And the years that you're going to save, if you learn this, heed our mistakes. Right? Because if selling is in service, it enables you to do so much, to offer so much. Because again, it's not about you, boo. You get nervous when you have the conversation. Make it about them. Because it's not really isn't about you. Even your story is not about you. I know that sounds strange because you're like, well, but it's my story. Yes, it's a process, a story that you've gone through, but it's greater than you. And yeah, there's this fear that comes up, like we're talking about the witch wound. Do you talk about the witch wound in here?
We haven't yet. No.
I'll just briefly say that the witch wound is the psychic trauma, right? Of millennia of years of invalidating and disempowerment and abuse of the patriarchal culture that has systematically invalidated the divine feminine gifts, like intuition, collaboration, emotional intelligence, healing, embodiment. And this appears not just in women, obviously, it's a divine feminine trait. When any spiritual person has the audacity to put themselves out there as authentic, powerful, healing, witchy. And so remember your why. Remember your why when you're going to tell your story. That's probably the biggest piece of advice for you today. If I'm in the advice giving business, is to remember your why. Because if you come out fully, I had a different coming out, but I had this one as well. And this one was actually harder. Feel it. Because as you said, yes, some people are going to show you some resistance, but others are going to open doors for you in ways that you never knew was even possible. And you're going to be surprised at who says, well, you know, my mother is da-da-da-da-da. She's psychic. She's da-da-da-da, whatever. Or she's a healer. I need to hear that, or whatever. Maybe you can tell your stories. Anybody like, okay, I got my stories. And I know maybe not here, but maybe out there. Somebody out there's like, oh, I got it. I don't have any trouble telling my story. That's not my issue. My issue is really selling. It's connected. It's actually the same. It's actually the same. So what I'm asking you to do is to take the courage to step out of the closet one step further than you have. One step. I'm not asking you, like we said, to bust down the door and share with the entire world all your deepest secret. No, we don't even want to hear them. We don't, we really don't. We want to hear them in stages. So take a step, because ego says, once everything falls into place, I'll find peace. Spirit says, find peace and everything will fall into place. So tell your story after the transformation. Your audience isn't your therapist. You are their guide. So, speaking of that documentary, I remember the first day the documentary crew came to shoot me. And I mean, I've been a Broadway actor. I'm like a pro, right? Supposedly. And I was a nervous wreck. And this is the first day of shooting, this right here. And I had the camera in my face and I had to be truthful and honest. I was sick to my stomach. I had body shame issues. Of course, this film's about body image. I hated my body from years of the sexual abuse. I had to take a deep breath like that, because I knew if I wanted to get the documentary distributed, to get it sold, to get it out to the public, to get it the message to the people that I wanted and knew desperately needed to hear it, I had to do what I asked my students to do. I had a choice in that moment. Could either retreat or I could jump in and get really open and really vulnerable. And that's what I did, because it challenges your identity, you all. That's what it does. When you share your stories, it challenges your identity. It becomes personal, because we get attached to these internal stories, to our damage. We get attached to our fears. We begin to wear them like a badge of courage or a badge of honor. I'm a survivor. So it's really important that you get the structure of storytelling. I'm not going to say that it's not, but anybody can give you a plug and play template, like that I call them, the plug and plays. But it's really about accessing the real stories within you and learning to trust them with structure. And we don't have time for structure today, but really with them. Because your dharma or your purpose is greater than your fears. And if you're robbing your audience of the experience they need to have, you're a spiritual thief. Like I said, remember your why. So let me ask you, what would be possible if you fully came out? And I don't mean as queer, although maybe you are, that could be part of your story, but came fully out. If you fully owned your story. So just take a moment. What would be possible for you if you fully owned your story? And will you commit to fully showing up, sharing a part, just the next step, so you can attract abundance and be fully in service? And one of the tools that I'm going to leave you with, that Talia really loved, I think, is flow pages. And this is a tool of literally just writing freeform. Anybody knows the book, The Artist's Way, sometimes called Morning Pages by Julia Cameron? But it's just writing free form, stream of consciousness writing, because your stories are in there. This written meditation is full, so full of juicy stuff for you to mine. And my other final thing is I'm super grateful to be here to chat with you all and to share. And you can follow me at the Nick Demas if you aren't already. And as Talia said, I do have a course called Real Stories That Sell that she's a graduate of, She's a graduate of it. And I would love to have you with us. But any questions, thoughts, as we conclude?
Thank you so much. I'll say more about that in the end, but just thank you already.
I was just going to say that it's seeing that sentence and hearing that my dharma is greater than my fears. It's like hearing a truth. Oof. It's like hearing a truth that hits me in my center. Mm. No, I'm hearing that for the first time because I feel, I don't know. I don't even know if I can articulate this. I know how big my fears feel. I know how big they can get. And the idea that my dharma is like bigger than that, like that's, it's, I almost can't handle the power that's behind that. Like it's, it feels like it just pulls me open.
Because that's how powerful you are. Hmm. What if you can handle it? Because you wouldn't have been given all this if you couldn't handle it, which is part of your dharma.
Yeah. Fuck, Nick. Talia and Nick, this is too much. I can't handle it. No. Thank you. This has been, it's just everything you were saying and then what we've been talking about and even the work previously I've been working with Talia and stuff. So just, I mean, the money part of it, it's like, I knew that, but like to connect that today.
Good. I'm glad I connected some dots for you.
Yeah, that was pretty huge, the money bit. Definitely. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Marcy, I love too that, like, do you remember in week one when I said, don't be a dick and hide your gifts? Yeah. It's like, that was the foreplay to the deeper levels that we're going to go through in the program. And this is like, it's exactly it is. I love how Nick says that it's not about you, boo. And it is all about us until we fucking wake up and realize what it means to be a light worker and how we are the conduit, how we are, you know, even just intuition and stuff like that, I've had to open up and trust and take my conscious mind out of it. When I do a card reading for someone and it says baby, and I'm like, what? And I have to just trust. It's like that, but on such a grand scale of just trusting, like we've talked about, that the shit you have been through is actually for you to overcome and grow and evolve and then help other people. And so I just love, like, Nick, you have such a beautiful way of talking about this that just feels so true. And I just, if nothing else out of this program, I want you guys to know that this has all been on purpose, and absolutely you are meant to share these things, and you were meant to go through this. And I love that you guys here and everybody that's going to watch the replay is really starting to get that. It's not just, we're moving out of, this is all the shit that's happened to me, into like the beautiful slide you had where you're showing, you're like confused and what it's about you and why has this happened, and realizing like, whoa, I don't like to say grooming because I think that has a bad connotation, but it's like the universe has been grooming you for this, preparing you for this your entire life. And I just fucking love seeing you guys open up to that in a new level, because you have such gifts to share. Everybody in this group has such incredible gifts to share. Just love it. What are you doing, Julie?
You always give a space for the container of us to do this. So over the years working with you, as you know, I just keep telling you how much I love you and how great it's been. I feel like I manifested you, like when I wished on stars a long time ago, somebody that would help guide me through this stuff. And the last few years have been amazing. So to be in this container with you now, with the future ahead, is like, I don't know. It's just so good. So
Of course. Julie, do you have any questions for Nick before we wrap up?
No questions. No, that was awesome.
Good. I'm glad. You guys were great. You're so open. You're like, ah, you know, sometimes when you go into a group and it's like pulling teeth, right? No, of course not with Julia. Of course not. I appreciate you all very much for your openness and your candor and your honesty and for sharing your stories in the safe container, which is a beautiful practice for them when you go to share them in a container that doesn't necessarily feel as safe. And that's that expansion of your consciousness, because what you're doing is you're expanding the energy.
Yeah, expanding who you are. Thank you so much, Nick. And as I mentioned, the program Real Stories That Sell, I think you run it ongoing. I know that I was part of it. You're running it again. So I'm guessing you launch it ongoing.
All times a year.
Yeah. It's truly an incredible program. I know you guys already resonate so much with Nick, and just learning how to tell your story, I feel like it's naturally now something I've been through that I am going to recommend to everybody at some point on your journey, because it will elevate your business and also has you do what we did here, but for like 7 weeks, 8 weeks. And so if you guys have any questions with me or to Nick, of course, let us know and make sure to find him online, because owning your story, telling your story, it's personally empowering and just elevates your business. And the way that you teach that is also so beautiful, because much like you guys, I always was scared of telling that story and that thing I've been hiding. But I've actually realized I have so many stories within me that are a little scary and are a little vulnerable, but help so many people, and I can share them. And that expands me into show that I can share those scarier ones as they come up. And that's what I'm called to do. So definitely follow Nick and be a part of anything you can, because he's amazing. And I feel like you were an answer to my seeking. We don't have time to get into that story, but holy shit, was I praying. And holy crap, was Nick writing me at 111 and this and this. And when I signed up for his course, I screenshot and it was like 222, and I'm sending it to him at 333. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And the whole,
what's going on?
Yeah. So you were definitely an angel for me and still are, and such an incredible soul. So I thank you so much for being willing to come in here and serve everyone, to everyone watching the replay. Thank you for coming back and thank you for tuning in. It's so powerful. And you also have access to this workshop forever too. So you can watch it again, because there's so many nuggets. Sometimes we need to go back, especially with someone like you. There's just so many different layers of nuggets. So thank you so much,
Thank
Nick.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, everyone. Okay. Have a fantastic day. Love you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.